Let's share together in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, as we come before these beautiful passages and we talk about this topic of this movement from living in and being defined by scarcity to living out of abundance, I pray that you would help us to not only hear your word this morning from these passages, but I especially ask that you would help us to look into these passages, to see these characters, and to wrestle with that deep spiritual question of who am I? Who am I in this story? In Christ's name, amen. You might recall that when we began this Lenten series, which has been focused on a number of different movements that we experience spiritually, that very first one was a movement from security to generosity. From security to generosity. The focus statement for that movement was this: moving from a focus on prioritizing our personal security to living with generosity toward our neighbors. Now, while exploring that first spiritual movement, I emphasize that the underlying themes were the issues of scarcity and abundance. That when people believe that we live in a world of scarcity, they prioritize their security. When they believe there's a scarcity of goods, they prioritize their security. I mean, look at the reality of what we're seeing coming out of images in Russian supermarkets, where there is indeed a scarcity of goods and people prioritizing their security at the cost of others. When we believe that there is a scarcity, we prioritize our security. But those passages we looked at that very first day, that very first Sunday, emphasized the reality of abundance. That our God is a God of abundance, and we can live from that abundance and move to generosity. That our security is not about the quantity of goods. Our security is ultimately about living in God and living in God's abundance. And when we live in and from that place, we can practice generosity. I would suggest to you at the foundation of all of these different movements we have talked about during this Lenten series, at the foundation of them is this reality of scarcity and abundance. You see it in the passages for this morning. If you look at the book of Isaiah chapter 43, the people of Israel were living in a reality of scarcity. We know that that particular passage was written to the people of Israel who were living in exile in the land of Babylon, singing their songs on the banks of the river as the Babylonians mocked them. There was scarcity of food. There was scarcity of water. There was scarcity of freedom and identity and hope and joy. They were living in a reality of scarcity. But Isaiah comes to them here, and he comes to them in Isaiah 35, two passages that use this same metaphor of the wilderness and the desert. Isaiah comes to them with good news of abundance. That God's love and grace is going to flow to them like a stream in a desert. Isaiah 35 reminds us that when a stream flows in a desert, tremendous transformations take place. Almost like that. It's a remarkable reality, apparently, to behold. I've only seen it in time-lapsed photography. But for those who have actually sat there and witnessed it, a land that is arid, a land that would be the definition of scarcity, teems with abundance. As grasses grow and flowers sprout and bloom, and animals that you didn't even know were there come to drink. Isaiah talks about a path in the wilderness, a path in the desert. And that may not seem all that significant to us because we don't understand paths in the desert. One of the most fearful realities of navigating a desert is the fact that there are no paths. There are no ways. It may be there today and gone tomorrow. But God promises a way, a path that they can travel on. It's good news of abundance, of this new thing that God is doing in their midst, and they're being invited to live from that abundance. If you look at the John 12 passage, we see the reality of scarcity and abundance. Some of the characters in the story embody the reality of abundance and live out from abundance. And one of the characters in the story is living from this reality of scarcity and the fear that scarcity produces. Mary and Martha, they're living out of a heart that is filled with the abundance of God's grace and love and salvation and joy. Martha, as she labors in the kitchen, does so joyfully and happily because she's preparing a feast for her Lord. It's interesting to me that if you look at this passage in John 12 and you look at the passage in Luke 10, in Luke 10, Jesus almost sort of questions, even ever so gently judges the fact that Martha is in the kitchen slaving over the stove, and she complains about the fact that Mary's out there reclining with Jesus, and Jesus points out that Mary has chosen the better way. But here, there's none of that. Because what Martha is doing, she is doing out of a heart that has experienced the abundance of God's love. For both her and Mary, as women, they have been invited into the very inner circle of Jesus's followers and disciples, a place that women never would have normally have been invited. And they're experiencing the abundance of grace and love that comes from being in close association with Jesus. And Mary anoints Jesus' feet with expensive perfume because of the abundance of joy and love and hope that she is experiencing. Lazarus, we are told, is reclining at the table with Jesus. Reclining is a rich, rich word. Back in that time, you didn't have chairs. You were on the ground and you reclined at the table. But to recline at the table gave this image of peace, of contentment, of happiness, as you were joyfully at the table with the Lord. And of course, we know that Lazarus must be living from a perspective of absolute abundance because he's alive. He's experienced the miraculous power of Jesus raising him from the grave. And he's at that table, living in the abundance of God's love and power and grace. They've experienced the abundance of God's love. They're living from the abundance of God's love. And then there's Judas. Judas witnessed many of the same things that Mary and Martha and Lazarus witnessed and experienced. Judas would have witnessed Jesus healing the sick and the lame, the diseased. He would have witnessed the power of God's salvation and love flowing from Jesus and restoring people. He would have witnessed Jesus welcoming sinners into his midst and aliens and sojourners and blessing them and loving them. He would have witnessed and experienced what Mary and Martha and Lazarus experienced, and Peter and James and John and all of the other disciples. But for whatever reason, it didn't result in the same transformation. He continued to be a stingy little man who was gripped by the fear of scarcity. That's why we're told he dipped into the common purse. That's why he sounded ever so pious when he suggested that what Mary did was wrong, and that could have been sold and put into the common purse he was taking from and given to the poor. He masked his fear. He masked his insecurities as a result of scarcity with pious overtures. But the story and the end of Judas make it clear that he continued to live from a place of scarcity and fear. These characters invite us to challenge ourselves and ask ourselves, who am I in this story? Am I like Martha and Mary and Lazarus, having witnessed and experienced the joy of God's salvation, the abundance of God's grace and forgiveness, and am living out from that abundance? Or am I perhaps more like Judas? Someone who's living in fear of scarcity. And lives and acts out that fear. Our God is a God of abundance. Abundance of grace. Abundance of forgiveness. Abundance of love. Our God is a God of abundance, whose grace and love just overflows to us. I think the challenge for us is, will we let that abundance transform us so that we can see an abundance, not a scarcity, but an abundance in our lives, an abundance in our life together, Because I believe that when we see abundance and we live from abundance, we don't fear whether or not there's enough spiritual gifts in the church. We don't fear whether or not there's enough resources in the church. We don't fear whether or not there's a scarcity of any kind of goods. We live from and trust in the abundance of God. And as a people, we move forward from there. So who am I? And who are we in this story? Are we people living from abundance? Or are we living from scarcity?